If you got your Bible, let's open up the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. You pray for us, the Lord to help us today, and I'd sure like for him too. Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, you find that place, and your Bible, you stand with us, we'll give reference to the reading of the Word of God. Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, the book of the second law. We find Moses is the writer. And he writes for us several words as he's about to teach the children of Israel about what the Lord's going to do for them. And we'll start reading. We'll pick up our reading in verse number 20. Read just a few verses down. The Bible says, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes." Verse 23 said, "He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning. And to God, we sure need your help. Father, I'd ask you for a few moments of time, that Lord, that you would help us. Father, I pray that you would touch us afresh today. And to God, give us that unction to preach with. Just no man can preach without. Father, I'd ask you, Lord, that you wouldn't make preaching easy. And Father, I pray that the target, God, it would land on bullseye tonight. And Father, I understand that, Lord, we did not come today, Lord, simply to be tinkling cymbals or sounding brass. Father, I pray we did not come, Lord, simply just to say a few words and to sit down. But God, I pray that you would deal in the hearts of those that, God, that are under our voice this day. Father, I pray that you would make it real in our soul. Father, I pray, God, that you'd give us good liberty. And to God, help us that if this is the day and we say the last thing we ever had, I pray, God, you'd help us say the best thing we ever will. Father, I pray that you'd set our eyes just a little above the crowd and help us to be fixated on Christ. And to God, what you'd have for us today. Lord, I'd ask you, Father, that you'd honor and magnify your own son in our midst would be our prayer. And the Father, we'll be careful to give you glory and honor for it all, for it's in Christ's name. And we ask all these favors, amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily, the verse says there, that there is going to come a day that the children are going to ask their father. I thought about this, really. And my friend, there's going to come a time, and whether saved or lost, that the children are going to ask their fathers periodically some questions, maybe about where they're at or why they do what they do. But here we find Moses the writer, and he outlines for them very particularly in verse number 23 that you need to tell your children that there's going to be a time that he brought us out and he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our father. I want to say this, friend. I think it's amazing in your Bible that God prepared a place always for his people. Well, before the people ever showed up, God was preparing them a place. I thought about this, dear neighbor. You find in the book of Genesis that before God had ever formed Adam and Eve, he had already formed them a place that they could enjoy the goodness of the land. I mean, God's always taking good care as they sang that song of his people. I thought about this, dear friend. And not only you find it there, but then you come down to the land of Goshen. And when they're in the land of Goshen, Chase, God had prepared for his people the best of that land as well. And well, before they ever
got in that land. God had prepared that land. And we find in the gospel of the book of Genesis that God had prepared them a Canaan land before they ever got in it. And that we find that God had made them houses and vineyards. And God had prepared them land. And that well before they ever set foot in it, God had prepared them a place. Amen. I thank God. Listen, where we're standing at right now, and one of the best verses in your Bible, I thank God in John chapter 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And so we find that God has prepared a place. I thank God, friend, when the people of God died in the Old Testament, and God had prepared them a place. It was called paradise or Abraham's bosom. But now, thank God, I'm sure glad where we're standing at. And that if a saint of God dies, and right now be absent in this body, is to be present with the Lord. And you say, where is that preacher? It's in a prepared place. Amen. And thank God, there's a day coming. And bless God, according to the book of Revelation, that there's going to be a new Jerusalem that's going to come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And you know what that is? Thank God. And he has a prepared place. I'm saying this, friend, that God's always prepared a place before he brought in a people. Always. He prepared the Garden of Eden. He prepared Goshen. He prepared Canaan. He prepared heaven. He prepared paradise. He's going to prepare the new millennium. He's going to prepare the new Jerusalem. And God always prepared a place for his people. Amen. But I want to say this to you, dear neighbor. I got to thinking about this and of all the places God prepared. Hey, if you're born again by the grace of God, I'm talking about to the saved folks tonight. If you're saved by the good grace of God, do you understand that every one of those places, they didn't even have a choice in it except for one place? And my friend Adam and Eve, they were just planted in the Garden of Eden. And we find when God brought them out, that he put them in the land of Goshen. And we find when they died in the Old Testament, and God put them down in Abraham's bosom. If you die in the New Testament, and God puts you in heaven. I thank God, whether you believe it or not, there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom. And if you're saved, and God's going to put you there too. But I want to say this, of all those places in the Bible, there was only one place that man had a choice on whether or not he went there. And that is the land of Canaan. I want God to help us for a few minutes tonight. And you know why that is, dear friend? And that land of Canaan. And that is a surrendered life. Everybody didn't have to go there. Everybody didn't have to enter in there. It was prepared. And thank God it was ready. And God done everything he was going to do for it. But if you didn't want to go, you did not have to go. Amen. I won't preach tonight on this just simple, a real simple message. And God didn't bring you out. I thank God just to leave you out. Amen. And God didn't bring you out just to leave you out. I want you to understand. And when it comes to the wilderness and it comes to Canaan, there's essentially three types of people. And if the Lord would help us, that's what I want to preach on. And first of all, listen, dear friend. And you understand, not everybody even got to see Canaan land. And with some folks, thank God, and as far as they ever made it, have they made it to the desert. I want you to listen to me real good. There's no doubt in my mind this morning that that's probably by and large and where most Christians are at. And they're saved, thank God. They say, I'm glad I'm saved. But my friend, they've been wandering in the wilderness for the last 40 years. And thank God they ain't got no intention of ever going into Canaan land. They say, this is close enough. I want you to listen, friend. I thought about this. Hey, you understand it took them 40 years to make an 11-day journey. I mean, 40 years. I thought that's about the growth rate, amen, of a lot of Baptists, amen. I thank God ought to take us about 11 days, and instead it's taken us about 40 years to grow in, amen. Oh, listen, friend, I want you to hear me. And the question is this, and why did they die in the wilderness? They certainly didn't have to die there, and they didn't have to perish in the wilderness, and their carcass didn't have to be left in that place. And so why was it? And we find the answer in Numbers chapter 13. And we find in Numbers chapter 13, it was 12 spies. And those 12 12 spies went into the promised land, and they could have said a lot of things. And when they came back out, they could have said, look at those grapes. They could have said, look at the fruit. They could have said, thank God. It's just like God described. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land that the fruit thereof, it's unlike anything you've seen. But instead of talking about how good it is, they all came back and said, and listen, they said, yeah, it is that way. He said, but thank God, we ain't able to overtake that. He said, it's not for us, friend. Amen. I want to say to you, dear neighbor, there's a lot of folks I've heard things my whole life. They say, preacher, if you go forward with God, he might start requiring something out of you. I want you to listen to me. And don't, this might be a newsflash. He's going to require it anyway. Amen. Thank God, that's right. And you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And thank God, listen. God's give everybody in here, everybody under the sound of our voice, every tool we'd ever need to be as close to God as we want to be. Amen. But there's so many folks running around. And listen, just this week, I have to say this, and I'm not going to say much more about it, but just this week in revival, there's a lady and her testimony was this. Has she been married to a preacher for 40 years? And said that she had lived through hell. I thought, listen, I can't attest to that. I don't know what you've lived through, but that is not the will of God for your life. Amen. Oh, we've got too many folks in the house of God, and they say they're saved by the good grace of God. But thank God their will's not in it. Have they not been enjoying none of it? And thank God they don't enjoy it at home. And they don't enjoy it here, amen. And thank God, listen, that's the truth. As soon as they say, man, they say, I like that youth choir singing. But you know who I really like? I like Garth Brooks, amen. And that's what they say, thank God. They say, man, I like that preaching just a little bit, thank God. But what I really like, amen, is to watch what I want to on television. I'm saying this to you. And be in the house of God your whole life and never enjoy the things of God, amen. I mean, not never. And not never enjoy what it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that the crowd standing there, and they had 10 men come by, and they said, oh, yeah, it's good. They said, but it ain't worth it. There's too many obstacles in the way. And the first thing I thought about says, hey, you remember there, I think it's Numbers 13, maybe about verse 33. It says that they looked up and they said, the walls are too high. In other words, they said, it's good, but there's too many obstacles in order to get where we want to go. I want to say this to you, dear friend, listen to me. There may be a lot of obstacles between you being where you are and where the Lord wants you to be. But I'll assure you of this, it is well worth the fight, amen, to get to that place. Hey, you say, preacher, you don't understand. I mean, I just look here. I know what that's like. You stand out there and you look up at that big wall and you say, man alive, and what happened in their life? And Brother Ty, they was not defeated because the enemy was too big. And they was defeated because their faith was too small. Amen. And I want you to hear me today. And the reason, by and large, and folks go through the motions and they'll never graduate out of the desert and get into the promised land. It's not because their enemies or their demons are too big. It's because their faith is simply too small. I'd say this, friend. If God told them he would bring them in, God is a God of his word. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. And so they looked up there and they said, the obstacles are too big. But then they said this, we're too small. Hey, you remember they said that in verse number 38, I think. They said, we are but grasshoppers in their sight. They said, our problem's too big. And no, we're too little, amen. And boy, thank God, I would to God. That'd be some folks get a hold of that. And listen, friend, if God, it doesn't matter what it looks like in that land. Hey, you say, preacher, you don't know what battle I'm up against. I thank God, listen to me, it quite literally don't matter, amen. I don't think everybody in here understands. It literally could not matter less, amen. If God's a God of his word, then thank God he'll do what he said. And if God's not a God of his word, and we ought to chunk our Bibles and go to house and play cards until we all die, because none of it's real. But I'm telling you it is, amen. They may be 10 came back, and those 10 said, it's not worth it. But thank God there was a Joshua and there was a Caleb. And they said, I don't know what y'all saw, but it's different than what I saw. Amen. Oh, listen, I know. I feel like we live in a generation and a time. If God had helped us for a few minutes of time. And we've got so many poor reports that everybody's listening to. I mean, it's everywhere. Hey, you listen to CNN? I mean, if you're in here, you listen to CNN? I probably ought not do that. Amen. But if you listen to CNN, all they do is talk bad about whoever's on Fox. And that's their whole life's built on it. And whoever's on Fox, all they do is they spend their life just chilling up and tearing up whoever's on CNN. And all we do is listen to bad news. And thank God, if I didn't know any better, I think everybody in here was starving to death. I think everything in here is as bad as it's ever been from both sides of the aisle. But I'm telling you, thank God, he's still a God in heaven and still taking care of his people. But we've listened to the poor reports so many times and we forgot about the good news. Amen. God is still saving folks. It's still worth it, thank God. I'm telling you, friend, there's not a better life to live than a life that's surrendered to Christ. I was thinking about this. Listen, I'm sure there's nobody probably much in here. But there's a little lady by the name of Susie Parker. And she was in there. And whenever Hudson Taylor was over in China, and maybe in some of these red men had studied on that, they know about the little lady named Susie Parker. And she was a young lady, felt like God had called her to go out into China. And it's just what said. I said, she's standing there with her dad one day, and her dad was getting ready. They said, are you really going to let your girl go? Are you really going to let your girl go by herself? And this is what his reply was, Brother Bill. And he said, I have never had anything in my life that was too precious that Christ could not have. And he said, if that's where she's at, I said, God's got her. Amen. And when I listen, I'd like for this story to end happily, but the way it ends is this. I got over in China. I got struck with a fever and they sent her back by the coffin. And listen, she died not long after starting the work. And listen, they asked the old dad, and when the old dad was standing there by her coffin, he said, what do you got to say now, sir? And he said, I still say, he said, I don't have anything that's so precious in my life that's too precious for Christ. I'm telling you, thank God. Listen, and you say, preacher, how'd he say that? He was living where God wanted to be at. Amen. And listen, the reason we don't understand that is you can't understand Canaan living when you're stranded in the desert. Amen. But it is good over there, thank God. Oh yes, they stand in that place. And they said to listen, they said the walls is too big. They said we're too small. They said the enemy's too great. Oh, thank God. They said there's more against us than there are for us. But I'm telling you, that's never the case with a child of God. And that never seems to be where it's at. And for the people of God, I'm glad to report to you today, good neighbor, that where we stand in the house of God, there's not a better place to be at. And to say, God, I'm tired. Thank God, listen, I was let me preach and maybe help us. I understand King James Bible terms sometimes we can't associate with. I was driving down I-75 the other day, and I got behind this car, and it had its left blinker on, and it left its left blinker on for about 15 miles. And now listen, I'm as kind as I can be in about every area in my life, except for when I'm behind the steering wheel. And I don't know what to tell you. My twin comes out, that's where he lives at. I don't see him any other time. But boy, in that place right there, I got to fall in that car, and I thought, if you just turn right here, I mean, we don't know what you're trying to do. And that car kept saying, I'm going to turn, I'm going to turn, I'm going to turn, and it never did turn, Rodney. And I was a following that, and I was a getting mad, and the more miles went, the madder I got. And then the Holy Ghost got a deal in my heart and said, that's just like you was, son. How many times you been walking in this thing? And you said, Lord, I'm going to do right. I'm going to turn, and then you never turn. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm going to gonna say this. It was this old Ford Explorer. Had that thing had a left turn light on, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, instead of turning left, it went right, and it about caused a wreck on the interstate. And I thought, that's the way this thing works. And thank God, friend, if you don't turn and go in the right way, there's people all around you, and it's gonna shipwreck them, amen. I'm telling you, there's a place in this scripture that we find that, thank God, that the enemy was too big, and they was too small. But in verse 31 of Numbers 13, and they said the defeat was well sure. And you know why most folks never get in there? And they're already defeated before they ever show up, and before they ever go in that place, and before they ever try to go in that land. And they already have a defeatist attitude. He said, God's not going to help us. He said, we's just as well to go back and go back to Egypt, where the onions and the leeks are. And we's just as well to go back and to be bondmen again. He said, we're going to lose this battle. And listen to me, friend. Would y'all listen to me? These folks come in the house of God and they say, there ain't no point in this. There ain't no point in us trying. And we're going to lose anyway. There's no point in us fighting for this. There's no point in us fighting for that. And don't you thank God, if you get over in Canaan land, and you'll sure enough be glad that you fought the fight. Amen. Oh yeah, I was thinking about, listen, I've just so many things have been in my heart lately, and I'm telling you, if we're not just real careful, and there's a crowd, and you say, preacher, what happens to that crowd? And everybody look up here at me, listen to me real good. And most of the people never even got to see the land. They simply heard about it out of the mouth of 10 witnesses, and they all said it was bad. And I'm afraid that probably we've got a poor testimony, and that so many folks sit in the house of God, and all they've ever heard about, that was what a burden it is and how terrible it is, and to really sell out for God, and that's the only thing they believe. But I'm telling you, thank God, it'll be the best decision you would ever make in your life. I've got 10,000 regrets. I've got 10,000 problems. But one of them is not making a decision in my life to say, God, I'm going to go after you. And if it costs me everybody, and if it costs me everyone, I'll be well satisfied and leaving everybody else and laying hold on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It'll be a happy day in your life. And thank God, listen, I want to say first of all, and there's those and they just simply died. And they never did get in that promised land. And now listen, don't God's still so good. And this is what I want you to understand. And God is still so good. And that even when they was out in the desert, they still got manna every day. And God still took care of them, Brother Ty. And they still got drink out of the water. And their shoes still never did run out. I mean, for 40 years. But the only thing they was doing was dying. And that was it. They was waiting to die. Had they just come, they went through the motions, and they circled the same mountain, they experienced the same things, and they knew the sentence on their life was that they were going to die in the shape they was in. Everybody but two men, and two men said, thank God, while everybody else is dying, and we're going to get to living. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, the best decision you'll do is just surrender to the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. First of all, there's a crowd that'll perish in the wilderness. And if that's not bad enough, there's a crowd that'll park just outside of it. Oh, there's some people, friend, and they've been in that land. Now listen to me, y'all listen to me. His crowd that died in the wilderness, Dad, I understand why some of them did, son. They was going on what somebody else said. Somebody else came back and they said, Cohen, they said, that land does look good and it'd probably be good to live there. But you're too small and they're too big. And then Cohen said, you know what, it's like a Davis and them going out and playing. I'm sure you played some of them. They get ready to go play a game. They say, and before they ever stretch out, they get to playing a good team. And they say, listen, we're going to get the brakes beat off of us. And we just going to go through the motions. And defeat's already in their heart. And doesn't settle down where they're at. I've got folks sitting in the house of God. And listen, friend, brother, and Brother Josh just pounded in this morning. And you understand, the person living on the inside of you has never lost one battle. He's never lost one fight. And Jesus Christ is not a loser, amen. He is a winner, a victor, a conqueror. And if that's in us like it says it is, then thank God we got the same power, amen. But there's so many folks. I understand why some of them just died. But then there's that another crowd
that 2.5 tribes, they actually went into the promised land. John, they went in. They saw everything there was to see. I mean, they saw the grapes. They saw the fruit. They saw the enemy. They knew they had victory. They had all of it. They had tasted the goodness of God. And instead of just going on in, they said, this right here is close enough. That boy, God got to pound that in my heart. How many folks, they want to be close enough to see the smoke, but not close enough to feel the flame. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God you can come through the thing and serve God your whole life and be close enough to say, I know the smoke's right over there. I know the fire's right over there. I know right over there. If I really wanted to, I could get there and get help. But I'm telling you, that's not the case. And friend, there's going to come a point in time in your life when if you're not too careful, you'll settle down for the last time. Settle down close to God for the last time. There'll be no more stirring you up. There'll be no more getting up. You'll sit down one more time, and it'll be one time too many. And the next thing you know, you'll be away from the people of God. You'll be away from them. Oh, listen, let me say this to you, friend. I got to get over there for y'all. I feel like everybody in here is probably already ready for it to be over, but I'm preaching anyhow, thank God. I'm saying this to you. If you're not careful, you get over there, and here's the problem. Hey, Brother David, listen, we'll say this as brother, and we really, by nature, we don't have assigned seats by and large in this church. That's what just got set wherever you want to sit at. How about I'm going to say this, if you decide you're going to sit at home, if a Josh decides today it's day to settle, and Kelsey decides today's the day to settle, and then what I can tell you is there's two empty places where the devil can come in. Amen. Hey, you understand, when God prepared a place, Bentley, he prepared a place for all of them. And they wasn't nobody didn't have a place when it came to get in the promised land. Hey, wasn't nobody, God didn't have a house prepared. Hey, wasn't nobody didn't have a vine prepared. And God had literally taken care of all of them. And every person who decided I'm not going to go in, that was one more person that allowed the enemy space to get inside the camp. I'm telling you, thank God, if no other reason to get in the land, as to say we're going to keep the enemy out. At some point in time, and we've got to sell out in this thing and say, I'm all in, amen. I'm going after the Lord. And if I got to fight every day and to keep my family there, that's what I'll do, amen. We've got too many folks, listen. I'm saying there's places where they get in that place. If you're not careful, you're not paying attention, not watching what's happening, it's not just... You open up your eyes one day and you'll find out you lost possession of the land. Now I'm going to say this to you. Not only did they lose possession of the land, they lost the promises of God. Listen, would y'all listen to me? I pray God help us. And we'll get to a happy place maybe before long. Or we might end on it and get to a happy place some other time. Now I'm saying this to you, friend. If you settle outside and you settle in the desert and you just say, this is close enough. I'm close enough where I can hear the things of God. I'm close enough to hear the Bible. I'm just not close enough that I want to read it for myself. I wish I had somebody help me a little more on that one, but... That's all right. And thank God. Listen, dear neighbor. He said, I'm close enough to see the sacrifice, but I'm not just close enough to go all the way in. I'll tell you what will happen in your life if you're not careful. Hey, you'll lose the promise of God. Hey, you know what God did promise? Now listen, I want y'all to hear me. Hey, you know what God did promise in that land? And what God did promise for those people there is this, simply like this. He said, if you enter into this land, it is a place of rest. And thank God, listen, make no mistake, if they would have just went in the land, and God said he'd have fought for them, his angel would have went before them, he'd have sent them out by hornets, and God was going to do the fighting, all they had to do was the resting, amen. But then all of a sudden they said, they will just settle down. I wonder how many, listen, I mean, let's just be honest. I wonder how many folks, under the sound of our voice, how many times in my own life, we thought, you know what? I really like the sound of going in, but man, it's so much easier to settle down. Everybody all right?
Yeah, that's right.
This was amazing grace. I mean, I'm in the right place, am I?
Yeah.
I just double checking. Just double checking. I mean, how many times? And then we sit there and we go through the day. And maybe Brother Rod would get in a service and God really gets to helping us. And there's something on the inside of our heart says, you know what? I believe I'll go in today. Today's the day. And we sit in our pews and we make up our mind and we say, today's the day I'm really going to go all in for the Lord. And then come Monday morning, man, whatever that was that happened to us on Sunday, that thing done went out the window. And we said, you know what? It is easier just to settle. Now I'm telling you, thank God you'll lose the promises of God by settling. Amen. Listen, not only that, you'll lose the protection for your family by settling down. Amen. You understand God had put them in a place, 1 Chronicles 5, you can read it sometime, verse 31, 32. Those 2.5 tribes that settled, they were the first tribes conquered, the first tribes taken into captivity, and the first tribes to go out. I had a fellow just yesterday in the drugstore ask me, he said, preacher, what's the difference between this generation and the last one? And what's the difference? I said, I'm going to tell you, it's real simple. I said, you are seeing the results of people that have gotten used to settling close to the things of God instead of going all in for them. Amen. Lose the protection. Lose the protection. You say, preacher, listen, I'm going to tell you what happens when you settle down. What those 2.5 tribes did is they traded cattle for lamb. They said, you can keep the lamb, we'll keep our cows. They traded the later for the now. They said, seems easier now. But Carrie, if they'd just seen just a little while out there, just a little while out there, they was going to be the unclean and the unholy. There's only going to be two things welcome in their land. These folks say, brother, how do we get in the shape we got in our nation? We've had revival before, Benny. Jonathan Edwards and that crowd, God helped lead the first great awakening. Charles Finney and that crowd came by the second great awakening, times when revival flowed up and down the East Coast. Times of revival flew throughout the Midwest. And they said, preacher, what happened? What happened was there was some folks that at one point in time, they said, we're going all in. And then after that, the next generation said, we'll just get close enough. We like the warmth of the fire, but we're not much interested in cutting down our wood. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, why are you saying that? I'm saying this. God didn't bring you out to leave you out. It is honestly a disservice to the Lord to die in the wilderness or to die real close when God only had one design for your life. Listen, one. You say, preacher, I've already messed up that design. Where did you get that from? Where? Did you read that in the Bible? Here's the question. What about the last folks who possessed the land? Hey, some people perished in it. Some people parked in it. Some people just possessed it. They said, if we've got to fight every single day to get what the Lord would have us to have. I even like Caleb's attitude at 85. That's why I like to be around Delmer Savage so much. I like to be around somebody that's been thinking for the last 50 years that God still can.
Amen.
I like to be around somebody that for the last 50 years they say, man, old Caleb for 40 years, 45 years, he's been waiting for this moment, and at 85, he says, give me that mountain, amen. I've been dreaming of this day. I've been waiting on this day. 45 years ago, we were well able, and we still are today, amen. Caleb was waiting for the day that he'd get ready. Let me give you three things and I'm going to be done. You say, preacher, why should we? I feel like I'm having to convince everybody in our day. They said, why should we? Does it really, listen, here's the question. Is there really any benefit to it? Does it matter? Does it make a difference? I know where we said that. We're like, yeah, preacher, it makes a difference. I'm talking about, does it make a difference in your heart? I ain't talking about, the answer is yes, it makes a difference. There's no question. But if it says that with our lips, but our life says it don't make a difference, then it really don't make any difference. Everybody all right there? Say, why would I go there? I'm going to tell you three things that you need, that I need, that everybody in this church needs. Y'all listen real good. This will be real short. be real, real short. You get in that place, you'll experience an impossible power that you had never experienced before. Remember why they didn't want to go in? They said, man, them walls are great. Said, that city's big, walls is great. Joshua chapter 6, they walk in there and, man, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. He says, you talking about that wall right there? That Jericho wall? That's the wall that kept you guys out for 40 years? Watch this.
Yep.
March it.
Yep.
Just march. Just march. You guys thought you was going to have to scale that wall? Thought you was going to have to sneak in, climb over it? No. No, I told you, you're going to rest in the power. Just march. And all of a sudden, what they could have never done in their flesh, they simply watched God do by simple obedience. And I quite literally can't stress this enough. I feel like we got folks and they're facing walls in their life all around them and on every side. And they're trying to figure out how in the world are we ever going to overcome those walls. Listen to me and listen real good. You ain't got to come up with a plan to pull down the wall. Your plan just has to be get in the center of the will of God. If we had moms and dads, listen, I promise you. If we have moms and dads get in the center of God's will, we'll not have any marriage problems. Not none. You say, preacher, I'm on one side and my spouse is on the other. Listen, can't do a thing for nobody else. Can't do a thing for them. I can't make my wife serve God. She can't make me serve God. Y'all all right with that?
Yep, that's right.
Newsflash, you can't even make your kids serve God. Now, let me, hold on. Let me say this. By the good grace of God, if they're in my house, they'll be in this house. And they don't get a choice whether they sing in the choir. I figured that'd go real good right there.
That's real good preaching.
They don't get a choice whether they go to prayer room.
Good stuff. Yep. Amen. Hallelujah.
Whatever our church is in on, they don't have a choice. Right. Not one time has Davis ever asked me or Evan said, Dad, we don't have to go do that because they already know what the answer is. Okay, well, y'all love that. That's good. That's good. Good preaching. Amen. Listen, I mean, I like to preach nice, but I can preach mean. I mean, we're teetering on it right now. I'll be honest with you. Amen. I mean, I feel like I can be angry and sin not. I'm just being, listen, I can make them get up in the choir. I can make them get up there. But I can't make them sing out of here. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I can get them in it. But at some point in time, if they're going to serve God, it can't come from me. It has to come from inside here.
God, amen.
I want it for you. You want it for me. Till you want it for yourself, you'll not never get in that land.
Amen.
There's an impossible power that you're going to experience. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. There's prayers that'll be answered there in the Canaan land that nobody else will get to say. It is in that Canaan land where Joshua is walking and he says, Son, be thou still. Before, that was an impossible prayer. But because there's some folks that was in that promised land, those things that's praying about that seemed to be impossible, all of a sudden, they were possible. What I'm saying is this. Everything that was impossible to those became very possible to these. And the only thing that was changed in their life is they decided they'd just go where God told them to go. And friend, if we're going to do this thing at some point in time, it's got to be more than this. I've cleared my heart. Stand to your feet.